Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Christine Watkins from the Utah State House of Representatives. Welcome, Christine. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited.
Let's go ahead and get started. But before we delve into more of the in-depth questions, let's get to know you a little bit better. What I'd like to do is maybe ask you what you think would be things that you would say you're geeky about in Southeast Utah that you can do. Two or three things that you like to do in Southeast Utah. It can be anywhere in the area, but what are some things you really enjoy?
To cap it off or to start it with, first of all, I love the people. I don't care where I go, what I'm doing, the people are great. So to me, that's part of why I love the area that I live in, because we have such great people, different opinions and different talents and abilities. And so we all work together to make this a great area. And one of the things I really like is when you live here, it doesn't take very long to go to the desert to go camping. It doesn't take very long to go to the mountains to go camping or go fishing. I love to fish. We don't get to do it very often, but I enjoy fishing. Used to camp a lot with my kids. Now that I have my grandson, I guess I maybe should try and get into that more. But I love to camp, and I don't care whether you camp on the desert or in the mountains. It's just a lot of fun. And I love to just drive around and see the different landscapes. I mean, just from going to 9 Mile or going driving down through Moore to I-70, that's incredible out there, and driving down into Green River. It's just whatever you want, it's there.
So it sounds like you may have answered my next question to some degree, but I'll ask it anyway. What caused you to make Southeast Utah your home, and when did you move here?
Actually, none of those.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of almost newlywed. We had our oldest son, and we were living in Idaho. And I, no offense to Idahoans, but I did not like Idaho. It was very, very cold where we lived. And I said to my husband, I will wait tables to get out of here. Get me back to Utah. Because I'm a Cache County native. That's where I was born and raised, except for 4 years in California for high school. And so I met my husband at Utah State. We ended up in Oregon and then in Idaho. And I said, I don't like Idaho. So he had an opportunity. I was working on my teaching degree. He had his. So he interviewed at Utah State in Logan with the superintendent from Emory County. They had a coach who was accidentally killed, an electrical kind of accident in Huntington. So he interviewed. I had never been here. I knew it was here, but I had never been here. So he got the job. We came down to move, and of course, we're having a drought then. And this is in 1972. So I said to my husband, do you think you can tear that contract up? I don't know if I want to stay here. Not very green. And of course he couldn't, and we didn't want to do that. We needed the job. So we moved to Castledale. And I'm going to tell you, for someone who looked around and said, can we leave this area? Within easy 2 months, it was like, let's find a place to buy. Let's see if we can stay here, because we want to raise our family here. We had always talked about me finishing my degree. We'd go to Las Vegas. We'd be teachers there. Well, after visiting family in Las Vegas and living in Castledale, it was like, what were we thinking? You know? So we stayed in Castledale, and I finished my degree. We were both teachers, and we had 4 of our 5 kids born here. I had one of my kids born in the old hospital, which is now the technical or IT place on the campus here at USUE. So, but we love it. And then I got divorced and moved over here to Price, the big city. and loved being closer to stores and, of course, to the Wasatch Front when you want to go up there. And I was working that we had to travel a lot. So, you know, you don't have to be here very long until it grows on you and you just realize we have such a unique place in this world, and it's beautiful.
Well, that's very well said. That's part of the reason why I live here. So, but you said it better than I would. I would have just said that I had no choice. I was grew up here, and mom and dad raised me here. But I'd agree with you on those things, that there's enough here for you to get your needs met, and you're not very far away from bigger communities if you want to catch a show or a play or a game or, you know, whatever. So, Well, tell us a little more about your career and then also about your time in the legislature. Maybe perhaps what motivated you to run for legislature and the House of Representatives. But first, tell us about your career.
Well, I was a teacher. Started out here in Carbon, but I was able to very quickly get into Emory County where I lived. And it was, even as a new teacher, you really realize that what happens in the legislature affects your paycheck and how you're going to live and how you're going to afford to do the things you would like to do. And so I was a teacher until 1997, and then I got a job with the Utah Education Association, and it was called the Southeastern UNISERV District, and UNISERV just meant individual service by someone like me. So I traveled between San Juan, Grant, Carbon, and Emory, servicing teachers, working with superintendents in issues with teachers. And so then I really got to know San Juan, and I got to know Grant better. And I was always out advocating, telling teachers, these are the people who are good for education. So vote for them. Do this, do that. And then I got a chance to go up to the Capitol. This was actually when I was the president of the Emory Education Association, take some little gifts up to legislators, and I got to sit by my representative. And I remember looking around and thinking, I could do this. But I lived in an area where no one ever can really be elected from, because our numbers are so small in the voting district that the area like Richfield and is so much bigger. They control that seat. And so then I moved over here and got very active in the Democratic Party at that time, the Democrat Party. And so when Mike Dimitri decided to retire and Brad King said, I'm going to run for his seat, I had already talked with my husband a year or two earlier and said, hey, if that ever comes available, I'd like to run for that. So that was like on a Thursday, and on Monday I filed and had to have a primary. There were several of us that were running. We had a primary, and I won, and then I won the seat. So I was in there for 4 years, found out fairly quickly that the values that I had and that so many of my constituents had didn't really align with what the Democrats wanted. So I was butting heads with my own party all the time. So I lost in 2012, the year Mitt Romney ran, and it was great. It was great. I'm like, okay, I don't have to figure out how to switch parties while I'm in the legislature. I did it very shortly after that, became a Republican, active in the party, have stayed here and have loved that, and was not going to particularly run again. I tried right afterwards and because of a little rule or anything, and anyway, it didn't work. But then, so I'm just having a good time, and some local Republicans came to me in 2016 and said, I think it was 16, and said, we want you back in there. We like what you did. We like the kind of things, bills you ran, and we felt like you really supported us. So I said, okay. So I had to run again and wasn't sure whether I could pull it off or not, but did. So I've been here. This is my 9th year. Next year will be my 10th. Interesting things are going on this year because of redistricting. So I'm not sure what's going to happen to the area that I represent. So we'll see.
So talk about redistricting. Is that going to affect this area specifically, and how so?
Well, my district, 69, is the most out of whack with the least amount. I need so many people. I don't have those. I'm way off. I'm way below. We have other districts that have way more people than what they're supposed to have. In the last 10 years, people have moved into some places and out of other places. So they've left the Salt Lake urban areas and moved west out like into South Jordan and West Valley and all of that. And we knew this area probably wouldn't grow. And, you know, we've lost our coal mines in Carbon. Emory has them, but we don't here in Carbon. But my area is Duchesne, most of Duchesne and Carbon and Green River and on the eastern side of Moab, and we just haven't had a reason for people to come into our area. We're starting to see that with some people retiring here, but even the university hasn't had like a big influence on numbers of people being here. So I've been talking to some of the legislators that are on the committee. I was on the committee 10 years ago, but didn't make it on it this year. And very likely my seat will be moved north. More of it. And they're even talking about picking up more of Grand County. So it's talk until they really, people are making maps, but I haven't seen any of those maps. You know, at one point we were 38,000 people in a district. I think it now has to go up to 45, something like that. I haven't paid a lot of attention to it because I've been so busy remodeling this little house that we've been doing. But so I have to pick up more people in this district. So that'll all be done in November. So people meet, we've been told, save this whole week for special session to deal not only with representative seats, Senate seats, Senator Hinken's seat is down in numbers, congressional seats and school board seats. And we have real strict boundaries as to how we can create those districts. So it's going to be interesting.
You talked briefly about congressional seats there. Is Utah going to get another seat, or are we looking to see about that?
No. At least we hung on to what we have.
To the four we have.
Yeah. You know, California, for the first time ever, they lost two congressional seats because people moved out. So it's, you know, Pennsylvania lost some. It's interesting to see the big areas that are now people are wanting to leave. We, you know, it's too crowded, or we don't like the taxes, or we don't like the laws, whatever. They're all leaving, and then we're benefiting from that here in Utah. That's why in Washington County and down in Cedar City, they're just busting out at the seams. It's just really a lot of people moving there.
Getting into legislative issues and such, maybe this next question might have some legislative response, but maybe it's more broad and general too. As you see it, what have been some of Southeast Utah's greatest challenges?
Well, number one, if you count Uinta County, Duchesne County, you know, which I do in Southeastern, Carbon County, Emory County, not Ground County. We've relied on fossil fuels as part of our economy, and we still do. They're important to us. But in the rest of the world, to say coal or oil or natural gas, those are like almost like swear words, you know. They don't want to have anything to do with them. They want them to go away. And without realizing some of the issues that we have with our power grids, that we need some continuous power, and they do still need the oil and the gas that we have. We can't stop those yet. We're not there yet. So we're fighting a system that wants, especially now, that wants to shut us down. A year ago, we were okay. And so that's part of our issue. Another one is, we are 75 miles away from I-15. We're about 60 miles away from I-70. And the ideal would be 30 and not a mountain summit going, you know, to the west. And so we have an issue with transportation there. Even though we have lots of semis and, as we all know, on the roads and stuff, we actually need a four-way highway all the way from I-15 to I-70. That would be a big boon for us. Another issue is having the facilities that people really want and expect in a big area, they'd like to have it in a smaller area. We're very fortunate. Our hospital does a good job for us. But if you really need some specialties, you've got to go up north. Or if you have the right insurance, you could go to Grand Junction. So we have some issues there. And the only way to get some of these things is to have more people live here. You've got to have that population base. So at one time, we had a lot of homes available. We don't anymore. But we do have properties. We do have people building homes. And then, of course, we have the issue of water. But a big one that we have, the legislature has really helped with, was our drug problem. And we still have that. But we have two people that we were able to hire to work on those issues that came directly from funding from the legislature. And so I think those are kind of some of the big issues that we had.
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
Let's deviate a little bit here. We've got some in-depth stuff there. Let's deviate. I want to play a little game with you. So this game is called Geeky or Game Over. And I'm going to ask you a phrase or a statement, and then you tell me if you're geeky about it, if you enjoy it or like it, and you tell me Game Over if you don't like it or you've never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's begin. First one, board games.
Geeky.
Any particular favorites you have?
I love playing Sorry. I know it.
Are you ever sorry when you play Sorry?
No.
My wife loves Sorry, and I hate the game because, you know, she knocks your
Sorry!
And I'm just like, all this progress is gone.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, I find that to be a real fun one. I like card games, too. So with that goes. And sure. One of my favorites is Five Crowns. It's okay. One we played with my dad and my mom. They loved that once they discovered it. Up until then, it was Rook. But our family was pretty good into board games and card games. We really enjoyed those.
How about Game of Thrones?
Nope. I know about it. Not a fan.
Game over for
Game
you.
Over.
Okay. Yep. What about video games?
No, not a fan of video games. Game over.
Harry Potter.
Love Harry Potter. Just adore. I've got all the books. I have the video or the cassettes. Gosh, that dates me. Cassettes, and we have the videos of the movies. And I've for my grandkids, I bought all. There's only four right now, but all of the color, all the pictures and illustrated books of Harry Potter. Very different than just the one with the words and a few little black and white pictures. And you know, my granddaughter, I was like, should we buy her a bedspread with Harry Potter? I don't even know if you can do that. But I enjoyed and still do. I could read them again and be happy with Harry Potter.
Have you been to Harry Potter World or Land? Or?
Yes. I went back to Universal Studios. Now, I have something special. I should have said that. I went to Harry Potter World and Universal Studios. Loved it. Oh, my gosh. I have my own robe, my own wand.
Do you know your spells?
No. No. I don't get that. Sorry. I have other things. And then my mom and I, a year ago, October, it was great timing because we lost her in December. But a year ago, October, we went to England, to London. Mm. And we did a walking tour of Harry Potter.
The village or whatever it's called.
Well, there isn't a village. They took us to places that either the filming took place or it inspired the filming. And they created it to look like that. And it was fascinating. We did get to go to the railroad station. You know, and of course you can't go to the real place because there are people actually getting on the train. So they just created a little place right there in the entrance to the railroad station, railway. And, my mom and I had a ball doing that. That was just so much fun.
Does it almost make it feel real?
It makes it like you would like it to be real.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Very good. How about boating and water skiing?
I enjoy boating and water skiing. I have not done it for a while, don't have a boat, but in my younger years, we did a lot of that and I enjoyed it. I think it's a great sport. Really like it. I love water. I'm a water person.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm aware of Dungeons and Dragons, but game over.
Biking.
I love it when everybody else likes to do it, but game over for me.
My parents have just bought some of these electric bikes,
Could do
and
that.
it's like a motorcycle that doesn't make noise, you know?
I could do that. I could do that.
About river rafting?
I have done river rafting and I've enjoyed it. I just did a trip in Moab last year, and I did another one a couple of years earlier. I used to do a lot of floating on inner tubes down different rivers wherever we are. But I, like I said, I'm a water person. I do enjoy that.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, loved Lord of the Rings. The books, the movies. I don't have any. With Harry Potter, I have bought paraphernalia and all sorts of things. Lord of the Rings, not, but I do enjoy the story. I really, really like it a lot.
We talked about biking. How about hiking?
I'll do hiking. I will tell you this: being in the legislature keeps you pretty booked up
You do a lot of hiking from room to room.
with meetings. And so when I get to stay home, almost a desperate mode to get caught up and get things done, because we live on 2.5 acres and we don't do something on all of it, but we have a big garden. I have big flower gardens and a lawn, and let alone the house. And that brings me a lot of joy. If the kids want to go, if we're out camping or something, absolutely have no problem doing it. Thank goodness I'm still healthy and well enough to do that. But to just say, "Oh, I'm going to go hiking today." No, I don't do that.
So you'll do it, but you're kind of lukewarm on that one. Okay. This one I know you'll love, rock climbing.
Game over, because I don't like heights.
I'm okay with the heights. I just don't like the sudden fall.
Well, yeah. Well, either way, and every time you read about somebody not falling and dying, you're like, "Oh, I knew there was a reason." I don't do that. I let my kids do the rock climbing on the where they put the harness around them, my grandkids and stuff. But I'm not encouraging anybody to go out and do that.
I think Jimmy Fallon does these thank you note things. And he has one thank you note that he's talking about an umbrella. And he says, "Thank you, umbrella that doesn't open properly, for reminding me why I never go
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It just reminded me when you're talking about the rock climbing. So, how about sports?
I love sports. I was very, in my younger days, very, very active from elementary, junior high, high school. Now, I come from the days of before Title IX. So in high school, junior high and high school, the only way we could do girls' sports was to play within our own school. We didn't play any other teams except track. We could play against other teams in track. So I was on the track team, and it was not the best, but I enjoyed it. I loved it a lot. But I loved playing basketball. That was my favorite sport. And so I really, really enjoyed that. So I was really happy when Title IX came out and made it so girls could really, and women could do the sports that they do, because I support that 100%. And because when we played basketball, they didn't think girls were strong enough to go full court. It's just really, oh, come on. But I love sports. I'm more basketball and track. I mean, football can come on and I'll check in on the score as to what's going on, like I did, I think it was Saturday night.
I was sad Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I didn't care. But I was still watching, and I support my guys in doing that. But if I could go to a Jazz game 4 or 5 times during the season, I'd be ecstatic. But I very rarely get there. We took our kids. When we were raising kids, we made sure we took our kids to Jazz games, and we made that a really fun outing. So all my kids are Jazz fans.
How about Star Trek?
Oh, I'm an original fan of Star Trek. Clear back when I was first married and we lived in Oak Ridge, Oregon, I was going to Lane Community College in Eugene, Oregon, and I arranged my classes because I was continuing on with my education so I would not miss Star Trek, that I could drive home and be home in time to watch Star Trek. I watched Star Trek over and over and over. I loved the movies. I loved the characters. Now, when they branched out into the newer characters, I kind of lost some of the interest because I loved my original. And I know they weren't there very long. It actually got canceled. And yet here it becomes this big, what do I want to call it? They have all this following of people with Star Trek. But I have huge soft spot in my heart for Star Trek. I love it.
So between, and this one's not on here, but it just reminded me, but between Star Trek and Star Wars, which would be your favorite?
Oh, well, that's not fair because Star Wars, well, I'm going to tell you when I first saw Star Wars. We were living in Castledale. I had read in the Reader's Digest magazine, of all places, that this new movie was coming out with George Lucas as the director, and it was a sci-fi, and he had been waiting for technology to get there, and so this Star Trek movie was, Star Wars movie was coming out, so I drug my husband, he wasn't the science fiction guy that I am, and we went to the movie theater, downtown Price, for Star Wars, and there were probably, I remember looking around and thinking, there's probably 20 people in here. And if you know what happened after it came out and people realized how great it was, you'd stand in line. You'd stand in line to see that movie. So I got to see it when it was just a quiet little sleeper movie. Fell madly in love with Star Wars. I made sure all my kids like Star Wars, and I've been raising a grandson. He could have cared less. Could have cared less about Star Wars. He loves it now. Loves it. And so we've gone to all the openings, and between that and our superhero movies, you'd think I was a big kid. Because I love them. I love the stories. I love the themes around them. Be good. Freedom. You know, do what's right, no matter sometimes the cost.
Well, let's do two more then. You touched on one, but I'll give it to you anyway. Superhero movies.
You know, it took me a while to get into those. Not just because I just hadn't paid any attention to them. Love the superheroes. I love them. I think they're great. And I drag my grandson with me. He loves them. I just love them. Every character, the end game, all of those, you know, you just get so wrapped in and get, so you just love these characters. So if you lose one, you're heartbroken, you know, and the tears run down. But I really enjoy them. I have a son, one of my third son, who just loves them too. He's collected all the characters. And so I'm collecting some of the little Star Wars characters, just some of them that I really like, but my son has lots of the superheroes, and I think they're great. I just love them.
Last one, Walking Dead.
Game over.
I wasn't sure on that because it's sci-fi, but not quite.
I'm not into the gory kind of stuff, and some of them aren't quite as gory. I've just never particularly cared for that. I like the others because there's action, and of course somebody's getting killed and all this kind of stuff. But I love the storyline of those much better.
All right. Well, thanks for playing the game with us. Let's get back to a few of our questions.
Okay.
If you're ready.
All right.
So what are some of the issues you plan to address in the legislature this year?
Okay. I swore I would never do a water bill just because I just didn't want to get into anything like that. Everybody else brought in water bills and I'd either support them or not because sometimes they're pretty stupid. But I've had an issue come up and I think it's an issue that probably happens throughout the whole state. And that's where someone upstream changes how they water or take a different route and the water becomes polluted. But that water is still going down the stream to other people who are irrigating with that water. And we have an issue where someone has done that. They're putting it over manco shell, and as it goes over that, it picks up all the salts. The salts are going down and destroying the crops of the people below them. So we're in the middle of where the bill has been written. We're having people look at it, and that would have some very specific guidelines of what can happen, and even some penalties if people continue to do that, because a lot of times there's no reason for that kind of a pollution to have to happen. So that's one of my water bills, and it'll go through my Natural Resources Committee. I also have another water bill that the new director, the Drinking Water Division of the state, asked me to run, and it's a bill that will require a $1 and I think it's 27 cents, don't hold me to that one, fee to be paid by every household in the whole state of Utah. And it will go into a special fund that this department can use to go around and help mitigate issues, whatever community it is, help planning, because we have small communities that are starting to grow and they may only have one person working in that department. And so this would allow people who have expertise in the water systems and how to use those to be able to come and work with them. That's the bill we have, and it will have yearly oversight by the legislature. And so it won't come from the general fund. It'll just come from this fee. The money will not go back into the general fund. It will stay, so it's there to be able to be used by this department in going out and helping communities with water issues.
Is there an estimate on how much you can collect in per year with that rate?
There's not a fiscal note done on it yet, and that's what the fiscal note will show. So that's why it's such a small amount. We'll see if we need to have that once it reaches a certain amount, it's capped and temporarily stopped or whatever. He comes from, worked with this drinking water in Montana. Now, Montana's is a little bit smaller than we are, I think, in population, but I think they must have done something like that there. I will tell you, I met him in Moab with the gal that's over there drinking water, and it was one person. And she has to field all the negative calls. She has to field all the questions, all the positive calls, and plan for their drinking water. And as water becomes more scarce with everything that we're going, we really need to be able to plan and look ahead and help communities figure out what's the best route for them.
And so those funds, would they be granted or loaned to communities to use?
No, it would be that the department coming in, and they wouldn't have to be granted or loaned. The department would be using it to hire more people to come down and help. This is not we're going to come in and pay for your water system to be fixed. This is to provide planning, assistance if there's an emergency, how you do that, because most people don't have a degree in drinking water and what you need to do there. They're already hired up north in the conservatory districts. Is that the way I say
Conservancy?
That? Conservancy. Thank you. I knew that wasn't right. Conservancy districts. And so a lot of our knowledge is up there, but we need some of it in a lot of the rural areas. So it has to go through committee, and it has not. We've gone through a water task force, and they made some suggestions. We had some real experts working on this bill. So it'll be interesting to see what it finally... In fact, I got a draft of it today, but I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Following up that question, what types of tech are being targeted in rural Utah within the legislature and at the state level? And how are you working to assist in such efforts?
Well, one of the big issues is the broadband, having the fiber going to all of rural Utah. Now, we're really lucky. We have rural companies that have been very aggressive at getting fiber out to even like communities like Emory and getting that out to them, and so that people can leave the Wasatch Front and come down here and work remotely. And that's been one of the big pushes from the legislature, is to have that available statewide so that they can push people out. And that's what the legislature's been doing, is with some of our ag department and this water department and all of these that belong to the state, they're pushing people out into the rural areas so that we have people, the boots on the ground here, that really know what we're going through. And because I'm going to tell you, in all the years I've been in the legislature, to me, one of the failings has been the understanding of what we live with and what we struggle with. And so they've started hiring people or people volunteer because they want to come go back home, wherever that is in rural Utah. So it's been a big push. We are also a big, big push under this new governor is to consolidate departments so that if you go on to the Utah State homepage, here will be the Department of Drinking Water. Here will be Workforce Services. Here will be whatever you need. And you're not going out all over on the web trying to find all those different entities. So we have actually combined a number of the state entities already into one department, and one head and an associate director and then all these people, but they're all under one umbrella. And I think people will find that to be very helpful.
So let me ask you, following up on that a little bit, what are some key pieces of legislation that you've sponsored or will be sponsoring that will help Southeast Utah or that have helped Southeast Utah?
I have done so many bills.
I know the one I can think of that just comes to mind is the one about the doing commercial kitchen type stuff.
Oh, yes, my micro kitchen bill. In fact, I went to a conference in Salt Lake, a national conference, just went as a legislator, and I had people looking for me, I didn't know them, about that bill because they're so excited about it. And what it was is it's a bill that actually passed in California, I think 2 years ago, maybe three, but they had some really different restrictions on it. And we took away those restrictions on this bill. I just passed it this last session. And what it does is it says to the State Department of Health, you create some parameters for micro kitchens, but you can't do this. In the bill, it said you can't require, because this is a home kitchen, not a commercial kitchen. And then you send that down to one of the 13 state district health departments. Ours happens to be here in Price. And they create some rules and regulations because people have been cooking from their homes and selling food for years without a license, with no one checking up on them, nothing. And so this will allow the local health department to go into that home once a year and be tested, checked. And for cleanliness, for water, the water being safe, and just things like that. And then they'll have a license that says this home's been inspected, but remember, this is not a commercial kitchen.
It's a micro kitchen.
And when we did the bill when I was presenting it in committees, I had people get on through Zoom from St. George that were of Japanese descent that were thrilled to be able to cook from home and offer to their neighbors or whoever their food. And we have people in West Valley, South Jordan, all of those areas. We have, you know, the Tongans, and a lot of this is people who are cooking their cultural foods, and other people want to be able to enjoy that, whether they're a part of that ethnicity or not. And so people have been allowed to do jams and candies and raw milk and all of that. We've got all that taken. It's called the cottage home industry. We had all that taken. What this bill does is allow people to cook meals from their home. You can't go in and eat it there. It's not a restaurant, but you can have it delivered or you can come and pick it up, and they can cook meat. They can cook meat. They've not been able to do that before. So it's once they get this going, in fact, the State Department should be done by now with all the things they've done, and I liked what they did. It could open up some real opportunities. We have a Senator Kitchen, that's his name, Senator Kitchen, and he got up on the Senate floor and said, as a lot of you know, we were doing cooking food from home, and then it got so big we got to move into a brick and mortar building, and I now have a very successful restaurant. So we're hoping that if something is so successful that then they'll end up on Main Street or someplace where they can be doing it from a restaurant, but there are a lot of people who just want to make money and provide some good food for the neighborhood.
Well, thanks for that input. We are pretty much out of time, so I want to give one more question to you, and I think I've devised what I want to say.
Okay.
So our final question is based on a 1 to 10 scale. We ask you, how geeky are you on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being highest? I'm going to give you a 3-part question here.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how geeky are you about Star Wars? And then how geeky are you about Star Trek? And how geeky are you about Lord of the Rings?
Oh.
If you had to rate each one on a 1 to 10, what would you say?
Okay, I'll explain my answer real quick. Because I don't eat, live, and breathe any of these, I just really, really like them. I don't think I'm a 10 because I can't give you statistics or all sorts of names or this kind of stuff. I just know them and love them. So the first one was Star Wars. I'm going to say an 8. The next one was
Star Trek.
I'm going to get a 7. And Lord of the Rings, 5.
Very good. Well, thank you, Christine, for being with us today. And thanks for being a part of the podcast. We enjoyed your time with us.
Well, thank you. I just want everyone to know I'm a 10 on Southeastern Utah, being geeky about Southeastern Utah.
I should have asked that. What is your scale of 1 to 10 at Southeastern Utah?
I'm a 10. I love it here. I'm going to be buried here. I am not leaving this area. I love it.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.